So this is a message from that Hazarat Anayat Khan gave in 1926 on the American radio from New York City. And the message is this. Beloved ones of God, Sufi message is a message given to humanity. It is not a message of the East, but it is the message of the soul, the spirit. The Sufi word means wisdom, which comes from the root Safiya. It is the work of that wisdom to give the message today to humanity, in order that people may come together in a better understanding, arising beyond the different sections of castes and creeds which divide mankind. The Sufi message is an answer to the cry of humanity today. At this moment, when materialism is all-pervading and commercialism is continually on the increase, the Sufi message respects all religions, recognizes all scriptures, regards all the prophets held in esteem by large sections of humanity, and is the source and goals of all. His wisdom in the One. It's an answer to the cry of humanity. So we also are part of the humanity. We are also crying. And when we find a method that is of use to ourselves through these practices, we know that it is some benefit, and that gives us confidence. This is the point of practice, to have confidence in the practice. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe Hazrat Anayat Khan. You believe yourself. You know, the Buddha didn't say, don't worship. He didn't say, worship me. He said, I'm showing the way. I mean, this is what these bodies of teachings do. They show us the way. They're kind of a map. They're a guide for us, but we have to do them. And then we learn, and then we can offer that in the course of action that we take in life, yes?
You gave that in
1926? 1926 is timeless.
Amazing, yes. Almost, it can just be on any program today on television.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It's just, it's profound because it's timeless, you know. This is unrelated, but yet also related, that my students, I mean, think all of you know that I teach graphic design at the college level, and my students have been doing this research on the evolution of marks that have evolved. So, you know, every car company has a mark. It's called a brand. Mm-hmm. You know, clothing companies have them. Target, we're very familiar with Target. But there are some that have not changed. And we look at that. I mean, like, this message is timeless. But there's some brands that, like, Coco Chanel's mark has never changed since the 1920s. It's the same mark, you know. Mm-hmm. Timeless and classic, you know. And there's certain brands like that that have not changed at all. Like, you can't even believe they were created so long ago. But that the simple elegance that touches, it's like a keynote, a touchstone that points right to the very heart of things. That, you know, there's an elegance to that. And I think that message proves that. And he doesn't say we're a religion, or doesn't even say we're a philosophy. It's just like, we respect all. We understand all. We sympathize with all. It's an answer to the cry of humanity. How beautiful is that? Just, to me, it's quite extraordinary. Yeah, between us crinkling our cough drops and Nuri's banging bangles, I don't know how anyone can hear anything. Y'all doing okay that's online? It must be so strange to not see us, but you can hear us.
Well, Alima says, your voice is full of loving energy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your prayers this week.
Yes from Amina. And yes, the love is touching us from Nursi.
I'm so glad you're all there. We have to all more and more connect in this way. This is a beautiful medium to be using, and it makes us feel all part. We're all part of this same circle. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this Jalal and Jamal and Kamal. There are specific breaths that are given, and some of you may have received them. What I'm trying to do here is to slowly build something, because often these practices are given quite freely, and that's okay. What harm can it give? But it's also a little bit better to have some understanding of what we're doing instead of, you know. So here I want to talk a little bit about the triangle breath. And I'm reading again from some teachings on from Hazrat Inayat Khan. And there are two forms of this breath, one in which the triangle point points downwards, and one in which the point points upward. Okay, we are talking about the breath that is pointing downward. And maybe you should turn the heat up just a little bit here. Yeah, of course you can borrow anything. But people might be, are you a little chilly, people? I think when we get calmed down and we settle down, we feel different. Thank you, Karina Gita. So here, just start to subtly visualize, you know, without too much force, that there's this triangle, and you're visualizing it with the point downward, okay? So it's an inverted triangle, let's say it that way, an inverted triangle. And however it's comfortable for you, there are different forms that this is given. Sometimes it's tracing the triangle on the forehead, but sometimes it's visualizing the triangle in front of you. So wherever that is placed, where it's most comfortable for you to visualize it, you can do that. Now we're going to start with the Jalal breath. The Jalal breath is that more active breath, the more powerful breath. Can anyone, well, it sort of begs the entertainment of the thought, why would we start with the more active breath and go to the more subtle breath? Because what I find, that when I teach meditation, the first thing people want to do is relax. So they're active and they want to go into more relaxed mode. But let me just say this. Is someone having a comment? Everybody's okay?
Everyone's okay. Oops.
That when we come here, or when we come to a practice, sometimes there's energy that might be built up or compressed, and it's kind of like dissipating a charge. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to kind of exhaust that energy or use it to get into the more relaxed state. So we're always going to begin with the more Jalal form of that. Okay? So we're going to start as we breathe, and you can just watch because I'm going to do it for you. You kind of have to imagine in reverse, I guess, but here's my left side, okay? I'm going to breathe up. I'm going to hold as I go across the base of the triangle, which is inverted, it's at the top now, and I'm going to breathe out the right nostril, and we're going to hold our nostrils to breathe in, hold, breathe out. Breathe in and hold and breathe out. Now this is the Jalal breath. This is to invoke that sense of power, of will, of this desire to accomplish something. Okay, and that's what this breath is for. So you can use this to accomplish something. So if you're studying and you want to accomplish something, or you're writing that sermon, this is the breath you want to give, right? And you're delivering the sermon, this is the breath you want to have, especially if you want it to be passionate and full of light and power, right? You understand what I'm saying? If you're baptizing a baby, maybe you want the Jamali breath. You understand?
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Now, so these are practical applications for these breaths. So the Jalal breath, and Cabrilla, you even had something to share about this breath a few weeks ago. Do you want to...
We worked with this breath last month, and I've been working with it since then, too. And I've been pretty amazed, because I've had a lot of stuff I've needed to get done in my house in terms of cleaning and organizing and clearing out closets and just doing all kinds of stuff. And, man, I do this breath, and next thing I know, I've accomplished something that I was going to take, I thought would take a whole day, you know, and it was like an hour or something. So... And things that usually I'll be like, you know, it just takes me long to get through. It's like, oh, that's done. So it's been a really interesting month, I can just say. And at first I didn't put it together. Like I was just doing the breaths in the morning, my practices. And then all of a sudden I was like, I saw a pattern.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe. New career, home organizing. I mean, she's got the things, the pull out of the cupboards now, and wheel bearings, and, you know, little baskets, and it's amazing. So there's a practical, if you have some closets to clean out, this is the breath. So the intent of the breath is truly to gain some, it's actually to develop willpower and to accomplish something. It can be something very menial and ordinary, or something of great accomplishment. Okay. That can also have to do with the inner culture, that we sometimes have to use willpower, you know. If we have a certain way of being in the world, sometimes we have to grasp the will to control certain things. So again, the breath is, we're going to start here again. This is my left. I'm going to breathe in, I'm going to hold, and I'm going to breathe out the right nostril. Now, this is going to be quick because we're only going to do 3 of these breaths. That also tells you they're pretty powerful.
When you were doing that in the mornings, is that about how many you did or how long?
I was doing the 4 because we worked it with 4 last month, so...
We're going to do 3?
Well, I'm going to move to 3 this month. I wonder what will happen.
We're going to... there's a reason why I'm 3. You see, 3 is a very active number. 4 is a number of completion. It's a square. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Triangles.
And triangles, 3. There's a reason. So... I do think, and you may think that there's no reason for it. There's a reason for everything.
I wonder if I did it, forgot, and you did 3, and I thought it was 4.
No, I did. You did 4? I did 5.
Oh,
it
was 5.
Yeah. It was an uneven number.
So see, I still fell off the wagon.
Well, now we just going to wait till next month to hear what happens.
Now you organized your wagon.
That's right. Maybe you needed to balance it.
Maybe.
Put the wagon moving. So, we'll close off the right nostril. We'll breathe in left, hold, close off left, breathe out right. Got it?
And I have a question.
Yes?
From Patty. Do we have to count in this breath practice?
Yes, we do count in this breath practice. If we have the metronome,
like the metronome,
will they hold? Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a little metronome that's going to be beating 60 beats per minute. And it seems a little regimented, but part of it is it helps us to harmonize our breath.
Okay. Ready?
We just begin. Yes. So again, we're going to breathe in the left, hold, and out the right. And I actually think I'll let it be to the beat of 5 again, just so we can get a little bit of the rhythm. So start with out breath. Out, 2, 3, 4, 5. In left. Hold. Out right. In left. Hold. Out right. In left. Hold. Out right. And just relax. Now that we have the rhythm and the pattern, are there any questions? Everyone has that? I'd like for you to think about something that you yourself wish to accomplish, but that you know is going to require a certain exertion of will. And just contemplate that while we do this breath. And if you don't have the answer about how it should be accomplished, just allow that to lightly reside in the consciousness and see what arises at the conclusion of the breath when we just pause and relax. Can we have the rhythm again? So start by breathing out, 2, 3, 4, 5, in left, hold, out right, in left, hold. In left, hold, out right, and relax. Feel your body, sort of notice the quality of mind, notice the quality of feeling, and not too much analysis, just sort of let there be space there and feel that. And now we're going to, while keeping the triangle still inverted, we're going to reverse the flow of our sight line as we trace the triangle and our breath. So this time it will come in the right nostril, hold, and out the left. In the right, hold, and out the left. Here, whereas in the breath that we've just been doing, we are developing willpower to accomplish something. Here, we're contemplating something in which we're seeking inspiration and insight. So something we can't think our way through, we can't analyze our way through, but that with some insight and inspiration, the answer may come. So think of that, let that arise in the consciousness. And remember, we're reversing the flow. Now we'll start with the right nostril. As we hold, we might even feel the flow of inspiration, a kind of bringing in of light, and of the light growing during the holding, and then breathing out the left nostril. In right, hold out left. So we'll start with an exhalation, out, two, three, four, five, in right, hold, out left, in right, hold, left. Right. Hold. Out left. And relax. Feel the body, feel the mind, notice the sort of emotional realm, see if that's the same or different than in the previous breath. It's a study. Do the breath one more time. Again, calling to mind something, it could be the same thing, going deeper into it, where we might be seeking some inspiration, some insight. We're opening ourselves up. This is the more Jamal breath, the receptive breath, the milder breath, the more gentle breath. So in the first breath, we generated a kind of power, and now we're relaxing, being receptive. So in one we use the will, and the other one we just open. All right, so we're going to do it one more time. Again, we'll breathe in right, hold, out left. Triangle downward. So breathe out, two, three, four, five, in right. Hold, out left, out right, hold, out left, in right. Hold. about that. And relax. Now this practice is, we're going to reverse it. So take the triangle that was inverted and turn it upright. So now the base is at the bottom. The point is towards the sky, upward. The practice that we've just done is a kind of invocation. That's how best I can put it at the moment. It's an invocation, asking for a resolution of something that requires will and or inspiration. This practice is reversed in that what it's requiring is for us to put aside, in a way, the sense of ego, the sense of I. And in this practice, we breathe in and out and hold while the breath is out, which is a very subtle way of challenging this natural impulse to want to breathe. So we hold the breath out, we have no breath in the lung, and it looks at, I read these words here because it's beautiful. This practice can develop willpower inasmuch as mastery over the want to be, is obtained in the absence of the incoming breath. So by holding that breath, this desire to want to be, to assert one's will, is overcome. From which it becomes obvious that the willpower is of divine origin, whereas want, in quotes, which is of human nature, is the energy of the ego. It's that sense of not my will, but thy will, of using one's will in alliance, in cooperation with divine will as an instrument, instead of I will do it, I want it. You understand? It's a very different attitude. So we hold the breath to suppress that impulse of I want to be something, I am something, to I surrender to that will to be as an instrument. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful, isn't it? It's a very different kind of practice. It's very subtle. And as I said to a few, and others know that I think it as well, it doesn't have these practices, when really done in a subtle way, can be done collectively but individually. There is no requirement of a group, you see, for the experience. One can have the experience in the grocery store line, even.
At the red light,
driving down the highway, you see, it can be anywhere. It doesn't require anything but the breath. How extraordinary. No beads, no fancy gadgets, no fancy hats, no fancy shoes, no fancy robes, just the breath. So So again, we concentrate on the triangle pointing upward. We're going to be breathing in one nostril, out the other, and then holding as we trace the line of the triangle and holding at the base. Okay. We'll begin again with the jhala breath, which means we'll take the breath in through the left, out through the right, and hold. In through the left, out through the right, and hold. Again, in the left, out the right, and hold. This is specifically to help with the development of one's willpower to overcome the play of the ego. So in ways our ego keep us caught in a storyline that sort of scripting again and again the same script that help prevents us from being who we really are. So the base of the spine, the triangle is pointed upward. It's a right reading, right up triangle. We'll breathe in left, out right, hold. Again, we'll do it 3 times to the count of 5. So we start breathing out. 2, 3, 4, 5, in left. Out right, hold, in left, out right, hold, in left, out right. Relax. Feel the atmosphere. Do the breath one more time, again calling to mind the development of the willpower to overcome some sort of sham, some sort of game of the ego. It may be something that we wish to, you know, just surrender to, or something that we wish to purify, or something that we wish to transform. We can use this breath to do that. So again, we'll breathe in the left, out the right, hold. We'll repeat the same direction and the same breath. And if we could have a rhythm. So breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5, in left. Out right. Hold, in left, out right, hold, in left, out right. Hold and release. to reverse the motion of the breath. We'll be breathing in the right nostril, out the left, and holding. In the right, out the left, and holding. This again is the Jalal breath, a more mild form, subtle form, form of kindness and gentleness, receptivity. And here we make a prayer. We set an intention to awaken a quality within our character that we see perhaps is trying to be birthed, or some sort of impression in the soul which has not been allowed to surface, but something that we can call forth with gentleness to flower in our being. So make a prayer, set an intention. And again, we'll be breathing in right, out left, and holding. So breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5, in right, out left, hold, in right, out left, hold, in right, out left, hold, and relax. Allow the prayer to arise, to awaken, further awaken, birth forth. This is a receptive element, but yet that receptive element also is the thing that can also give birth. And so we are calling forth, invoking, birthing a quality of the within the character, within the soul. I mean, they're different levels of the same thing. And we'll do the same breath again, breathing in the right and out the left and holding. So breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5, in right, out left, hold, in right, out left, hold, in right, out left, hold, and relax. So with that practice, I would like to offer one last reading. And this is from the Sufi Message, Volume Number 9, called The Unity of Religious Ideals. And this is on the Master, the Saint, and the Prophet. It relates to these breaths. There are three roads to spiritual attainment, which meet at the end of one junction. Again, thinking of the previous teaching, Jalal, Jamal, Kamal, the Ganga, the Yamuna, the Sangam, you see. And this, of course, is the journey of the Kundalini as well. The road of the saint. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go one more time. I begin again. There are three roads to spiritual attainment, which meet at the end in one junction. One road is that of the master. Another comes from quite a different point and is the road of the saint. And the middle path between the two is that of the prophet. The path of the master is the path of war. War with those outer influences which prevent one from making one's way through life. The path of the master requires self-discipline and willpower to make headway through life. He conquers himself. He battles with life. He is at war with destiny. He crusades against all that seems to him wrong. He finds the key to the secrets unknown to him. He turns all conditions, all things, all people into the shape that he wishes, and molds as he likes the personalities that come in touch with him. He tunes personalities to a tone which will suit his orchestration. You know, like a really wonderful teacher can do. I don't know that there's so many masters, but if one should meet one, don't leave them. Absolutely. And Hazardanai Khan was a great music master. The master's one desire is spiritual attainment at its fullest. Therefore, to him, all other attainments, spiritual or material, are nothing but many steps on a staircase. The struggle on the path of the master is great. He has to struggle all the way. Every condition that he has to face on the way to accomplishment is harder to cope with than the one before. No doubt, as he advances on the path of attainment, he gains power through struggle. The greater the struggle through life, the greater his power. The path of the saint is the one of love, harmony, and beauty, ready to give, ready to sacrifice, ready to renounce, ready to give in and to yield. The saintly soul accepts all insults as a purifying process. He is resigned to every loss, For there is no loss without some gain, and there is no gain which is without any loss. There is always a hidden loss in the gain, and a gain in the loss. Renunciation is not difficult for that soul, for in renunciation it finds its freedom. No sacrifice is too great for the saintly soul, for it gives it happiness. It need not learn generosity, for this is in its nature. Its character, modesty, humility, tolerance, and forgiveness are part of the saint's being. He cannot do otherwise, for he knows no other way. No doubt in the beginning, the saintly soul finds difficulty on this path. The path of the saint is a constant battle with the self, for there's no end to the world's demands. In this world, no one can be too good or too kind. The better one is, the more good is asked of one. The kinder one is, the more kindness is expected from one. And so it goes on through life. The happiness a saintly soul finds through all the continual sacrifices that he makes as he goes through life lies in the fact that he will gradually become harmonized with the will of God, so that God's will and his will in time become one. Now, I should say something here because I think this part of the teaching could be very easily misunderstood. I love what Ram Dass says, you know, because we have a fascination sometimes with renunciation. But he says, you have to be somebody before you can be nobody. You have to have something to renounce before you can renounce it. You don't just say, I'm going to renounce everything and live in a certain way. There has to be a sacrifice involved. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Just thinking about at the beginning, the gain and the loss and the loss and the gain.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking with someone the other day about Mother Krishnabai, the counterpart, the feminine master with Baba Ram Dass. And she, someone had gone to India to see her, a gentleman, and was so touched by the poverty there. Of course, as you, if you've been, you know, and if you haven't, you can kind of imagine. And he said, I feel almost ashamed, as if I should give everything away to these people. I have so much. And she said, you must always give from your interest, not your principle. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking finances here. You don't give from the money you invest. You give it from what you get from what you've invested. You understand? And it also could be taken the other way, not from what you're interested in, but from your deep principles. You see, the saints always speak in two languages simultaneously. You understand?
Yes.
It's a hidden language sometimes, you see.
Interesting.
The answer is sometimes in not answering. I'll say it again. The answering sometimes is in the not answering. Okay, so the prophet. The way of the prophet is more balanced. For the life of the prophet there is a balance of